Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Well, folks, a happy Thursday evening to you. I hope you were able to meet with some other believers on this, the National Day of Prayer. If you were not able to, I hope you at least had some special time of prayer. I know that we all are supposed to be praying every day. In fact, the Apostle Paul says we should pray without ceasing, and that means living in an attitude of prayer and reverence toward the Lord. But today is the National Day of Prayer, and I hope you found some way to make that a special time in your life and encourage other believers as well. We've got plenty to pray about. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 16, beginning in verse 16. Acts 16, 16, and following. This is God's Word. "Once as we were on our way to prayer, a slave girl met us who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. As she followed Paul and us, she cried out, 'These men who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation are the servants of the Most High God.' She did this for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed. Turning to the spirit, he said, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And it came out right away. When her owners realized that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Bringing them before the chief magistrates, they said, 'These men are seriously disturbing our city. They are Jews and are promoting customs that are not legal for us as Romans to adopt or practice.' The crowd joined in the attack against them, and the chief magistrates stripped off their clothes and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had severely flogged them, they threw them in jail, ordering the jailer to guard them carefully. Receiving such an order, he put them into the inner prison and secured their feet in the stocks." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Some of you are disappointed because you thought I was going to go on and read the part about the earthquake and they're getting out of jail and all that stuff. Well, you already know that story, so I don't have to read that. The message God put on my heart this morning, if you don't know that story, you need to go back and read the whole chapter. In fact, read the whole book of Acts. In this passage, we see a principle that is involved that I believe God wants me to talk about this morning, and that is the fact that sometimes people say things that are true, but they do it in such a way that it undermines the truth. Sometimes people say things that are true, but they do it in such a way that it undermines the truth. You may have had somebody tell you about Jesus, but the way that they treated you made you not really want to have anything to do with Jesus. You may have had somebody who told you about right and wrong, but the way that they lived was wrong. And so you didn't really take seriously what they said about good versus evil. Now in this passage, we're introduced, we're jumping right into the middle of a chapter in the middle of a book, but we're introduced in these verses to a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, and she made a large profit for her owners by fortune-telling. It doesn't say that she was a con. that she pretended to have a spirit by which she could tell fortunes. She actually was in touch with the demonic realm. There was an evil spirit attached to her that, because of its network, was able to know things that ordinarily people wouldn't know. Okay? Now, for example, how does that work? I mean, is that real? Yeah, this is not make-believe stuff. This is real. If I were to tell you that in a couple of weeks, we should have a beautiful mural going up right back here behind me, okay? This should happen within a couple of weeks. You'd say, wow, I didn't know that. Well, how would I know that? Well, I've been communicating with the artist. And he said, God willing, I'll have it wrapped up in a couple of weeks and bring it up there. It's not a promise, it's not a guarantee, and I'm not guaranteeing and saying, thus says the Lord. All right? But because of my contact with someone you're not in contact with, I can tell you about something that is anticipated in the future, and if it happens, then it's like, wow, Pastor Wood knows what he's talking about. Right? Does that make sense? Well, if a person is in touch with the demonic realm, they have the capacity to know things that other people don't know. For instance, if I were to look at you, and I'm not doing this, okay? But if I were to look at you and tell you what you had for breakfast this morning, you'd be surprised, wouldn't you? Okay? How did he know I had that for breakfast? Okay? If I told you about what you had as the last meal during the holidays with your family, you'd be surprised by that, wouldn't you? But if you knew that I had asked someone who was at breakfast with you this morning what you had for breakfast, then it would be no surprise at all that I would know, because they know. They were there. Or someone who was with you when you were with family during the break and they saw the last thing you ate. That would make no mystery out of how I could know such things. You tracking with me? You understand that? That's how this gal did her work. She was in touch with the demonic realm because there was an evil spirit attached to her. Well, and she was good at it because she was making a lot of money for her owners. Please understand, this gal was not free. Don't be impressed and think, wow, I wish I could do that. If you disobey God by seeking to communicate with the spirit realm, you are not going to end up on top. You are going to end up as a slave. Please know that. When I was in high school, there was a gal who was new in our school, and she was very, very pretty. And so I invited her to come to our church youth group, just trying to be a good Christian. And so she came to the youth group. And within a few minutes, she turned to me and she said, I'm sorry, I feel really sick. I feel horrible. I said, well, do you need to leave? And she said, yes, please. So we got up and we left the youth group meeting. And right after she got in the car, she felt a lot better. Well, okay. Bang, 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 bang. This is a warning, okay? If something about being in worship with God's people makes you uncomfortable so that you just feel like I can't stand it, that is probably an indication that you're taking your cues from the dark side, shall we say. Okay? Because this gal, in the presence of God, manifested as God manifests his presence when people come together to really worship him. When she was in God's presence like that, it made her extremely uncomfortable because it made those evil spirits extremely uncomfortable. So I started asking her now for more information. I knew her grandfather was a missionary, her father was a medical doctor, and running a senior citizen center in the next town over from ours. And so I started asking her questions, and it turns out she was not a professing Christian herself. She was a witch. She was into Wicca. And she said, but don't worry. She said, I only practice good magic. I don't do evil things with magic. I only practice good magic. And I said, well, I certainly understand now why you were so uncomfortable in worship. I said, now, I want to challenge you to do something. Do you have a Bible? And she said, yes. And I said, I want to challenge you to read your Bible. I said, I don't care where you start. You can pick anywhere. God will guide. But I want to challenge you to read your Bible tonight before you go to sleep. She didn't commit that she would do it, but she heard what I was saying. And meanwhile, I'm driving her home. Dropped her off at her house, and the next day she came into school, and she didn't look quite as pretty as usual. When we had an opportunity for conversation, I said, did you read your Bible last night? And she said, no. And I said, How was your sleep? And she said, I couldn't sleep all night long. And I said, you know why? And she said, what? I said, I prayed you would not be able to sleep last night until you read your Bible. And I'm going to do the same thing tonight. Well, guess what happened that night? She still refused to read her Bible, and she still couldn't sleep. Let me tell you, after three nights, she looked lousy. Okay? But she finally, the third night, in the wee hours of the morning, broke down, read her Bible, and fell promptly to sleep. When she showed up for school the next day, she was scared. Because what she had just discovered by experience is what God makes abundantly clear in His Word, and that is that all the forces of darkness together are no match for Almighty God. Now this gal, this slave girl, was in contact with the demonic and utilizing that in order to bring in money for her owners. But when Paul and Silas come to Philippi and they're going about representing the Lord, she follows them around doing PR for them. Okay? She's announcing, these men are bringing you the way of salvation. They are the servants of Almighty God. She did this day after day after day. Why? Why would the devil want to promote the preaching of the gospel? Because if the devil can confuse you about what's right and what's wrong and who is telling the truth, then he has you where he wants you. He couldn't silence Paul and Silas. And if she had been going around saying, don't listen to those men, these men are telling you lies, it really wouldn't have done as much to undercut their message as to have her following them around saying, listen to them, they're telling you the truth. They are the servants of the Most High God. I want you to understand something. Please get this. There have probably been more people turned away from the truth by folks who claimed to be followers of Jesus than by all the critics and scoffers out there in the world saying, that stuff's not true. That's tragic, but we need to be warned of that, not only because some of you have been wounded by such people, but also because we need to be careful that we are not those who wound others. On Cape Cod, years ago, when I was a pastor there, there were two women who ran a cult in the next town over from me. They had separated from their husbands in practicality. The husbands lived on the property. They had a large piece of property. And one husband lived in this house, and the other husband lived in this house, and these two women lived together, okay? They lived together, slept together, and said that this was so that they could hold each other accountable. I'll let you decide if you believe them. They were very big on the need for discipline. Discipline is very, very important. If we're going to be disciples of Jesus, we must be disciplined. You with me? Both of them were tragically obese. Okay? Now, if you are waddling around and lecturing people about the importance of self-control and discipline, what's the takeaway? Doesn't that somehow undermine the message? Let me ask you a question. Is discipline important? Is self-control the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Is gluttony a sin? All of us have things we have to struggle with. But let me tell you something. If a lack of discipline and a lack of self-control are obvious characteristics of you, probably you're not the best person to lecture others on discipline. You with me? Because the net effect is to ultimately undermine the truth. Just like if you're going to talk about sexual purity, and then you abandon your spouse in order to live with somebody else, and the two of you dress just alike and sleep together, it kind of raises questions about credibility. Do you understand? A bunch of the refugees from that cult ended up in the church that I pastored on Cape Cod. And let me tell you, they were deeply, deeply, deeply wounded, because whenever we came to things in God's Word that dealt with the stuff that those two women had said, it was very hard for them to hear, okay? Because they'd heard it from somebody that they eventually realized was a complete hypocrite. Now, throughout the Scriptures, Old and New Testament, God makes it very clear that there are a lot of people who will say the right thing but not do it. And the temptation for many of us is to dismiss the truths that those people speak because we heard it from them. I don't believe that. I've encountered many people over the years who really basically felt like all this God stuff is just a myth. It's just silly stuff that people cling to in order to try and make themselves feel better. I am so sorry that they've believed that lie from the enemy. I don't have to cling to the hope that it's true. I know it's true. I know that God is real with at least as great a certainty as the fact that you're sitting here this morning. Okay? Well, how do you know, Pastor Wood, that you're not just dreaming right now? I'm pretty sure I'm awake. Well, how do you know those are really people and not just some sort of psychotic manifestation of your inner thoughts? I don't think so. I know these people. Well, how do you know, at some point, you just recognize this is true, this is not. God is real, and God always tells the truth, and God always does what's right. And the amazing thing is that God would have mercy on us, because by its nature, we don't deserve it. You can't need mercy and deserve it at the same time. It is amazing grace that God would save us. And those songs we sang this morning, talking about what God has done for us and the fact that we can come boldly into his presence because of what Jesus has done, because he reaches out to us with nail-scarred hands. He took our place. He took our punishment. He did it because he loves us. How amazing is that? That God would love us like that. He doesn't love us because we're cute and cuddly. He loves us. In spite of everything we've done wrong, He loves us because God is love. And He doesn't change His standard in order to accept us. He maintains His standard and pays the price Himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, I don't know where you are on the spectrum. I don't know if you've been wounded by people who claim to be followers of Jesus, but they treated you in a sorry, sorry way. I don't know. I mean, it varies from person to person. It's not like everybody's story is the exact same. I don't know if you have been preached to. My best friend in elementary school was a boy whose dad was mentally deranged, had drug addiction, gambling addiction, and would come home from being away for extended periods and want to preach to his family, despite all the junk that he'd done in the past that they all knew. And when they didn't show him what in his mind was appropriate respect, he would start beating them. I mean physically beating them. And if his wife tried to intervene, he would physically beat her. But I remember vividly his coming to church on occasion. He wasn't steady. But on occasion, he'd come to church and he would pray long prayers with tears, weeping and saying, God, I know I've sinned and I've messed up and I'm so sorry. God, please forgive me. Help me to do what's right, etc. And you'd sit there and you'd think, oh God, please let it last this time. I'm happy to tell you that my friend came to the point where he could look back past his earthly father and see his heavenly father by looking at Jesus. You want to know what the heavenly father's like? Look at Jesus, because Jesus is the exact representation of the Father's glory. So I'm not sure that I can trust God. Well, can you trust Jesus? Because he came to show you what God is like. Well, I think of God as kind of mean and, you know, I'm always afraid I'm going to do something to upset him. And, well, I'm sorry that that's the way you view him, but that's an idol. That's not the reality. God is holy and he doesn't change his mind. He doesn't change his standard. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Because God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but so that through him the world might be saved. If you come to him and you say, God, have mercy on me. I know I've sinned. I know I deserve to be punished, but God, please forgive my sins. I believe you sent Jesus to save me. Guess what? Not only will he has. Because lost people don't do that. But there are a lot of people who say the right thing, and yet their life contradicts it completely. Do not comfort yourself with just saying the words. Trust in Jesus. Trust in Jesus. Ask him to save you, to rescue you, to turn you around, to clean you up. He is able and he is merciful. And I have seen across the years so many transformed lives. People who came through all kinds of garbage. And then Jesus changed things. And I plead with you, while you have the opportunity, trust in him.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.com. pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.